Hello, hola, bonjour. Tune in every Tuesday to the Dear God Podcast.
¿Qué pasó?
Nah, we talking like it's 1995. Let go of that Wi-Fi. Let's laugh and cry, but never say goodbye.
Primos y primas, que lo que, and welcome, bienvenidos to the Dear God, Are We There Yet? The podcast con tu prima favorita, soy Alicia, and yes, I try to make this podcast bilingual. Now, for those of you who are new to the podcast, Dear God, Are We There Yet? In this context for my movement is whatever or whomever you want it to be. It could be the universe, religious God, Buddha, self, nature, lo que sea para ti. Don't forget to check out the YouTube channel where I talk about self-growth, budgets and business, and passion to empower. Now, before we get started to our podcast, this week's podcast, we'd like to thank our beautiful primas at Friends in Fertility, encouraging women to share their baby dust. And today, we're sharing our mommy power together on this panel. It's my first panel. I'm so excited. And we have some amazing mommies on the show. But before I get started into the show, I want to, this, dear God, how do we keep our children safe? This is such an important topic. As you guys all know, I'm a new mommy, and it's so much stress and so much beautifulness all in one time. But what's scary is keeping our children safe. And I want to give you the context behind this, because I was reading, according to rain.org, that every 9 minutes, a child is exposed to sexual abuse or some type of abuse by an adult. Y la locura es, para decirte usted, que one in nine girls this happens to, and one in 53 boys. This is insane. So mommies, I don't mind whoever speaks first. I wanted you to share with us my first question on this panel is, do you have a, you know, like a parenting style or a communication style? Like, tell us, what age is your child? Is it a female or male or non-binary? Tú sabes, tengo que decir eso ahora porque el tiempo ha cambiado. And tell me if you have kind of like a certain parenting style, because I hear this all the time, like, oh, are you a free-range mom and I'm a this and that? And I'm like, yo no sé, I don't know. I'm just a mommy. But tell me, you guys. Tell me, mommies, who wants to go first?
I don't know. I'm just a mommy. I'm going with the flow. Hi, this is Dominique. My son's name is Malachi. He is 2 years old, a very new two, and I don't have it figured out. I'm learning as I go, and I'm winging it, okay? I'm reading. I'm applying things that I can, and I'm being kind to myself. I'm not a helicopter mom. I kind of just, like, when he falls and he gets hurt, so I'm like, are you okay? And he's like, okay. I'm like, all right, keep going. Do it again. Like, I just make sure he's not bleeding and there's no concussion, because I want him to live his best version. This is, you know, live his life. Explore. Yeah. We're exploring together.
Okay.
As far as sexual abuse, I want to implement the way what my mother did. I felt like it worked. I am concerned that the reason why she was the way she was, maybe she has something she's not quite being honest with us about, but it helps keep us safe. I want to do the same with Malachi. She kept the lines of communication open, and she always made me feel as if she would believe me. And that was so important. And again, I don't have a sad story to tell in that regard, but in my friend circle, I think I might be the only one without that story. You know, my mother trusted no one. She didn't even trust siblings. Okay.
Yeah.
My brother and I weren't even allowed to be in rooms together alone. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing.
Everyone.
Thank you. No, I appreciate it. I have another question. Oh, but before, I want everybody to answer this question first. So whose mommy wants to go next?
Okay. I have a 12-year-old daughter, and she is in split homes. That's all she's used to, actually, since she was a baby. So it is a little difficult when when the child is not with you all the time, super difficult. But her father has another daughter, and most of the time we're on the same page, especially about, you know, safety, as far as knowing where she is, you know, at all times. I guess you can say I was kind of a helicopter mom. I'm definitely learning as she gets older and I get wiser, especially now that I'm having a boy and I know it'll be completely different. But yes, it's very scary out there. You just can't leave your kid with just anyone, even like Dominique said, siblings, you know, cousins, whatever. Uh-huh. Always want to know where your kid is. I fortunately don't have any sad stories in my circle. But definitely friends of mine have experienced certain things. And it's very scary. And, you know, you take that with you for the rest of your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not always easy to deal with that kind of stuff. But I'm actually reading a book about parenting just because, you know, as far as safety, you know, safety is one thing. But, you know, Jahira and I are going through our own little things at the moment. Mm-hmm. But I just came across something, you know, that maybe I'll share later, depending on the questions. But it's an adventure, the lifelong journey, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, I have to Google this.
Something to learn.
Yeah, I have to Google this helicopter word. Yo ni sé lo que es, so I don't even know what helicopter is, but I love that. I've already heard it 2 times. So thank you for sharing. Who's my next mommy?
Okay, I'll share. My name is Jamie. I have a 1-year-old and a 3-year-old. Wait, can you guys hear me?
Yes, claro que sí.
So I am kind of like an attachment parenting / helicopter mom sometimes. The topic about sexual abuse, I have been through it numerous times in my childhood. Nothing that my mom, I don't think there's anything that she did wrong.
Mm-hmm.
Could it have been avoided numerous of times? Yes. And I do take those measures to avoid it with my children. I don't let anyone watch them. I don't let anyone get close to them, as in
uh-huh.
for them to have the opportunity to be groomed. I
uh-huh.
you know, I speak to them very clearly about anything about, well, they're still little, so, but so
uh-huh.
far I've been teaching them that I have two boys. So penis is a penis and
uh-huh.
these guys, no one touches them. But
uh-huh.
sometimes mama can't touch them either. Because when if you say no, that means no, you can't get touched anywhere.
Yeah, that's it for now. I have a whole bunch of questions, but I love how you guys are all like, and this is the whole point of the panel, is that you guys, we're all mommies, but we're all different. Again, I'm learning too, because helicopter, and you said attachment, that's a new one. Okay, I haven't heard that
yeah.
one too, but está bien. Okay, who's my next mommy? My next mommy, she'll probably call in, but she's calling in from Trinidad, so she's probably having some technical difficulties. So this whole thing about like a parenting style, I guess I don't even know what I would be labeled as in the world of mommy world, and you guys probably can tell me which one, but I have to say that, yes, my father, I came from a very strict Dominican household. My dad, I felt like he couldn't let me breathe sometimes, but I thank him every day for doing that. And in the sense that even though he was so strict with us, I felt like there should have been some type of communication. Like, and that's my next question when it comes to culture. You know, we know these things. We want to keep our children safe. But in a world full of chaos and confusion and dangers and all this stuff in our culture sometimes, like, how do you trust? How do you gauge trust in other people? And how do you teach trust to your children? Because our children are not ours. I've heard that so many times. But how do we teach our children to trust in this world of locura? Like, that's what I want to know. How do we do that?
That's a good question, Lisa. That's a good question. And it's really hard because, you know, you're especially when a lot of us are super busy. And again, you know, sharing a child is not easy. So it is really difficult, and you don't want to, it's hard because you want them to be open with people, but like you said, how do you teach them? It is,
yeah.
I don't know if I have a certain way, but I just always tell her to be very, you know, close with like you, Lucy, you know, like
mm-hmm.
just open lines of communication with those who you're close to. And definitely she is well aware that I do trust her.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because
yeah.
a lot of times
yeah.
that's where things go wrong too.
Yeah.
Is when the child doesn't feel like they're trusted.
Yeah. Okay.
You know?
That's a good point. That's a good point. Very, anybody else want
to
say
I'd
anything?
Like to, I agree. What she just said about making sure that you trust, that she knows that you trust her, that is major. Oftentimes with these stories, you always hear the kid says they went to their mother and their mother did not believe them, or they didn't feel like they'd be heard or believed, you know, and then the abuse continues. And, you know, sadly enough, when it happens again with other people, they just carry all that same energy into it. As far as the kid trusting people, honestly, I don't need him trusting much of anybody, but his energy. He's a very good judge of character at this age. You're closer to source energy, so they tend to just be a really good character. So I don't force him on anyone. Like, if he doesn't want to go to someone, I let it be.
I trust that there's a reason for that, right? And I let him gauge that. And then as he gets older, he'll have the language to communicate. That's how I feel about it right now.
But my thing is like how, because kids are, they say like they mimic parents. And I want to let any other moms can talk to this as well. But like, I feel like the decisions we make sometimes, our children see that and they are look at that and they're like, And you're right. They have energy. They can clock things that from far apart. But my thing is like, how do we gauge that trust in other people that or physically, like, how do we do that? Like, how do we?
I guess I'm not understanding the question. Are you asking how do we trust other people? Because heck, as adults, we don't even know how to trust people. We're not making
decisions.
I mean, the babies can't. They, like I said, the babies don't really know to trust. They just go by how they feel. They sometimes, like, I take Malachi to school now, and I realize that he really takes to his teachers, you know? And if he didn't, I'd be mindful of that as well.
Yeah. I'm here. Sorry. I got disconnected for a little while.
Go ahead, Darcel.
Yeah, I'm just listening to everybody. Hi, everyone. I'm Darcel. I'm from Trinidad, but I didn't actually grow up here. So I've been back home for a decade now, and my daughter is 8.5 years old. I'm a single mom. So part of, in the conversation, you were asking about how we raise them. Well, it's between very traditional here in Trinidad. So, like, you know, we could still do things like slap our kids if they've done something wrong kind of thing. But and we're not going to go to jail for it, especially if they were wrong. I don't lay my hands on my daughter. We have a very open relationship. We talk a lot because it's just the two of us in the household. We're like friends, and then my mom lives next door, so she gets discipline from me and then from grandma next door, but because it's all the ladies, we have a really, really close bond between the females, and also my daughter and I, we write letters to each other, so sometimes when there's a bit of tension, or if, for example, I might be having a stressful day and I need her to just give mom a break for a little while, or if she's, you know, she's going through that moody stage at 8 years old, her hormones are starting to kick in. And sometimes I'll be pressing her to tell me, you know, what's up? Did you have a bad day in school or whatever? And if she doesn't want to talk about it, I leave her. I don't want her to think like she's being forced. So if she needs time alone, I say, you know, do you want me to leave you alone? She'll say yes. And then like within 10 minutes, she'll write a letter and bring it to me. And then the letter says everything that happened. So we just forge this relationship where it's like, here, what? On your time, when you're ready, I'm here. So I won't force you, especially if I feel like something's wrong. I've learned that the worst thing to do is force them. But, you know, my door is always open kind of thing. And then I write letters to her as well. So we've kind of created that bond.
That is awesome. I'm going to implement that. That does a few things. It helps them learn the boundaries. It teaches them how to establish boundaries.
Yes.
And it also teaches them how to write and communicate and perform.
And the good thing is it teaches them boundaries with us as well, because even though we're their parents, we kind of take it for granted that, you know, okay, we have this attitude, especially I think within the Black and Caribbean community, we have this attitude of, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of it kind of thing. Like, you can have a problem with anybody else except me kind of thing. But I also want her to know that I, as her mom, respect her boundaries as well. Every now and then we have talks about, you know, about your private parts, you know, who's supposed to touch you and when. And now as you're getting older, nobody's supposed to touch you. You know, she can shower by herself. She can do things by herself. So she's very cute and sarcastic about her privacy too. She's like, Mom, I don't need you to be here right now. You know?
Oh my God, that's awesome.
Pero ven acá, I'm learning so much from these moms. Make sure you never miss a show by clicking the subscribe button now. Les damos la gracia for this week's podcast to our primas at Friends Infertility. FriendsInfertility.com. Friends Infertility is an egg donor agency. They connect infertile couples and LGBTQ couples with women willing to donate their eggs to them and encourage women to register as an egg donor in exchange for compensation. I actually met a young woman in Minnesota who had her own kids and she wanted to help other families. And as you all know my story, I had a hysterectomy and I'm so grateful for Friends Infertility because they are making dreams come true for many families. Friends Infertility. Now back to the show.
My last question for everyone is about, so we all grew up with like these limiting beliefs and fear is one of them that we grew up in. But do you believe that our fears transfer to our children and it can affect them? because I know personally there's things that, you know, when I was growing up, money was always like, not a fear, but it was always like, I asked my mom, I'm like, oh, mommy, yo quiero eso, I want this. She's like, no tengo dinero, I don't have any money. Like, and I'm like, but we do got money. Like, don't you work every day? Like, that was, you know, not to say that was a fear, but it was always like, oh, my mom's going to always say no. That's just an example. But do you believe that any type of our fears, do they transfer to our children, and does it really affect them?
Yes.
Yeah. This is Lisa. Sometimes, like, I'm guilty of that, of telling my son, because he wants everything. He sees something in the store, he wants it. And I'm like, oh, I don't have any money. And then he's like, you don't have any money, but moms have money in her wallet. And then he'll go and take me out and tell me, look, there's the money. Or if I say, you know how you spend all your money, and you're like, oh, my God, where did the money go? And he'll be like, where did the money go? And he's like, he's always looking for the money, because he's thinking that they went somewhere. it definitely does transfer, because a lot of things that my mom went through, it transferred to me. I'm one of her, I'm a victim of her circumstances, I guess I should say.
Anybody else want to say something?
Yes, I do believe it transfers over. I'm just very mindful of it. My little brother and sister has a song that they sang for my father at one point when they were in high school. And it's "De job pa jamge kob." Two jobs and you never have money. They literally had a beat for it. Like, it became like, you have to hear it. It sounds really good. Like, they can make a song. They made a song and they're dancing to it. Like, it was just so funny. But the point is that every time they ask dad for money, dad doesn't have any money, but dad has two jobs and he's always not here. And it's because all the money goes towards the bills. I want to grow my child in a household where he is not concerned on whether mom and dad can make the mortgage or whether mom and dad can pay the bills, or if he asks for money for a field trip, that they're going to take money away from the household. It's so important that we don't transfer financial fears over. Instead, we teach them how to be financially strong. Because it is so, it not only is it demoralizing, but it also is limit. It's such a limited way of thinking about money, because, I mean, we're a little bit more conscious, our generation of parents. So therefore, we know that law of attraction tells you that you can live in abundance, you can have more, right? So one of the things that I'm going to implement is some financial literacy in our home, so that Malachi understands, like, even at this age here, all the financial investments that we're making, I don't want to know everything because I don't want to be dead for it. But nevertheless, I want him to understand how money moves, you know? And I feel like our parents were telling us they didn't have any, but they didn't teach us how to make it either. Although Alicia and I got creative.
Yes, we did. We sure did.
Yeah, but that's besides the point. So yes, our energy is transferred, and that's just with money. It's with everything. Like I just told you earlier, my mother was very big on, you know, not leaving my brother and I together in one room. Da, da, da. So every aspect of our fears transfer. The last 3 years, I've experienced lots of loss, and it created an opportunity for me to have fears. And then finally, I realized that, oh my God, everything that I've said that I feared most in life actually happened. So therefore, I've been moving without fear, and I want to be able to teach him that as well. Like, there's nothing to be fearful of. You just got to learn how to move by faith, and that's just my stance on that. I'm very hyper alert and aware of how I'm feeling and what makes me feel, you know, fearful. And my motto is faith over fear, and that's just how it is, because I'm telling you, I live every single, if I had a bullet point of all my fears, I've lived them all, and I'm convinced it's only because I gave them energy.
That's awesome. Anybody else?
Alicia. So first of all, you asked if you think we can transfer our fears to our kids. I think not just our fears, but even the positive stuff they get from us as well. But I have a twofold answer. The first one, one of the ladies was talking about how their parents never let on whether there was enough money to do certain things or not. And that's so true. I'm so grateful to my parents. No matter what I wanted to do as a child, they never put their money burdens on me. So I never knew whether there was money or there wasn't money. I just knew that mom and dad always made it happen. And that transferred to me, because now I have this attitude of, you know what, even when there's trouble, go get it. No matter what happens, go get it. Because mom and dad made it happen for you. You have no excuse not to make it happen for your daughter. And they shouldn't feel the guilt of you not being able to provide. I mean, there has to be another outlet rather than passing it on to your kids. That's the first part. The second part, so I'm going to have a bit of a God moment here, if that's okay with everyone.
It's okay.
But
I
when
don't
my
care.
Daughter was born, I left her dad when she was two. And I went through a tough time that year afterwards, and I actually started seeing a life coach at that time. And one of the most important things he said to me, and it's always stuck with me, so I was saved 2 years ago. So since what he said, and I think every single day, God shows me so many things about life through my daughter, through parenting my daughter. So my life coach had said to me, you think that Deja, that's my daughter's name, he said, you think that Deja is here on this earth for you to take care of her. You don't realize that she's here to fix you. And I didn't really get it at the time, but I noticed that a lot of my anxieties and a lot of the brokenness that I felt in my life from young up until now, there's a lot of things that Deja does to not reinforce it, but to heal it. So, for example, I have grown up with the skin condition vitiligo, so I've always looked very different. And I don't really like to wear shorts and stuff in Trinidad because the majority of people here have darker skin. So I stand out a lot if I wear shorts because I have very pale skin. And when she was about 3-4 years old, I noticed that she never wanted to leave the house without a jacket. And she wouldn't wear shorts. And she was starting to get a complex about it. And it really made me look at myself and be like, hold on, you're not even saying anything, but it's transferring to her. She's seeing that mom doesn't want to dress like this. Mom isn't comfortable with certain things. And as confident and talkative as I am, somehow it was transferring to her. She's like, no, mommy, I don't want my legs to show. I don't want my legs to show. So what ended up happening is one day I was like, you know what? F it. We picked up, we went to the beach, which is a place that I have so much anxiety over. I wore the shortest pair of shorts that I've got, put on my bikini, ran into the water, didn't care what anyone had to say about me. And you know, slowly, slowly, that's influenced her. Now she's got that confidence. And then in reverse, she's healed me because now I really don't care what anyone thinks.
Wow.
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 That was,
and it's true. I mean,
so I think it's what I'm trying to say is I think it's as much about us transferring to them, but also us learning from them. Yes, we are the parents, but our kids have so much to teach us as well if we let them.
Yeah.
I'm so happy that you said that because I've grown so much in 2 years. I thought I had it all figured out. Valentine's taught me to slow down. He's taught me patience. He's taught me to love the small little things because he gets excited about nothing.
Cardboard boxes.
Cardboard boxes.
They get excited about cardboard boxes.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it's empty diaper boxes right here, and that's like a basketball hoop. Meanwhile, I went and bought a basketball hoop for why?
Yeah, no, I think it's because we're consciously as moms, and we especially in the self-growth journey. And I want to thank you guys all for being on the. I don't want to keep you longer than our show, but I think consciously, and sorry, Dominique, to interrupt you.
You're fine.
We are with self-growth within ourselves, within our relationships, within our culture. We start to see like with our, you know how they say like we have that third eye? We start to see like, oh my God, my tone, like I shouldn't be raising my tone like that because, you know, like we start to consciously see that. And all these beautiful experiences you guys share with me and all the moms listening to on this show, I want to just leave one thing with everybody listening. It doesn't matter what your style is. It doesn't matter if you grow up in a city, if you grew up in a country, if you don't, it does not matter. As long as you are learning and you are also giving your child a lot of love and safety. And the number one thing, of course, safety is that's one of the most important things. There's a quote that says, there is nothing as powerful as mother's love and nothing as healing as a child's soul. I want to thank you guys for being on the show today because it's panels like this that keep these conversations moving. And it's okay if you might have learned something from another mom. I learned what helicopter is. Like, now I'm like, oh, espérate. Now I know what helicopter is because, you know, I'm a new mom. I don't know. I'm learning. My baby's 7 months old. She's 7 months old, you know, and I'm like, oh my God, this is the beginning has just begun. But at the same time, we are learning. Yeah, I know, right? But this is something I want to thank you guys again and everybody listening on the show. Remember,
If your mom is still here, pick up the phone and tell her that you love her. If you haven't spoken to your mom in a while, pick up the phone and tell her you love her. Write her a letter. Moms are something super, super special, no matter what. So, hasta la próxima. Muchísimas gracias for being on the show. Thank you, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to Dear God, Are We There Yet? Until next week, thank you, God Mommies. Have a beautiful day.
You too. Thank you, sweetheart. Bye.
Bye. Bye.